Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog. This is Preview Spotlight number 166 for the September 2021 solicitations. Now, in this episode, we'll be going over some of the items and previews you might find interesting. These episodes have an open submission policy, and I encourage you to send in clips to help promote the comics you can as often as you can. Now, I know you can't do it every month, but as often as you can helps, because, again, not everybody else can do it every month, too. Now, there are thousands of items and previews each and every month, and it's easy for things to get lost in the shuffle. Now, we'll be starting at the beginning of previews, working our way to the back, as we hit the spot where DC and Marvel would fall in line to the premier publishers. We'll jump over to DC Connect and the Marvel previews. Now, obviously, we're not going to hit everything. We're not going to go item by item, page by page, or even publisher by publisher. We're just going to hit the highlights, and those highlights are picked by people like you. So with that, let's get going. My first pick is on page 28, and it is the previews catalog. Now, when I say the previews catalog, I am including the DC Connect and the Marvel previews. Yes, they're different catalogs and stuff, but the whole idea here is if you know what's getting solicited in the pre-order cycle, you can actually either order them in advance or just tell your retailer, hey, I'm interested in these things, so they can order them and have what you want when it comes out. It's also a good way to kind of figure out, you know, hey, is this going to be a big month of spending or a small month, and therefore you can experiment a little more or what have you. I find knowing what's coming out really helpful just to, again, budget my time, my money, and so forth, and to make sure I don't miss anything that sounds interesting, because if I were reliant on just seeing what was on the physical rack at a comic book store, maybe they didn't even order it, maybe it didn't hit their radar, maybe they sold out before I got there. Now, I do mail order, so I don't have that problem, but it really then puts the burden on me to be aware of what's coming out. So again, previews, be it the actual print catalog, the digital versions, or just the information on the different websites from the different distributors and publishers and stuff, finding out what's being solicited for the pre-order cycle, I think, is advantageous. That's why I always recommend the previews catalog every month in these preview spotlights. So once again, that's the previews catalog on page 28 of the previews catalog.
Hey, this is James, your co-host for the Back Issue Spotlight with John and formerly in the monthly comic spotlight that we do now. I'm looking at my new previews catalog that came out. It got to me a little bit late, so I'm recording these now. It's a Wednesday before the cutoff this Saturday. And I'm on page 34 in the image section, and I'm looking at a new comic called New Burn Number 1. It's a new comic, writer Chip Zdarsky and Nadia Shamus. I've never heard of Nadia Shamus. I honestly don't know how to say her name. Artist Jacob Phillips and Zayed Yusuf Ayoub. Okay, what in the heck is this about? It is a crime mystery. It's a series premiere, 32 pages, $3.99. It's saying a hard-boiled detective series for fans of Raymond Chandler classics and Brubaker and Phillip titles like Criminal. I read that, and I just happened to be rereading Brubaker and Phillip's Criminal. I'm reading the trade paperbacks when I got my previews, and I was like, it's been really good. It, you know, refreshed everything. I was like, man, I really love this Brubaker stuff. I read it once a while back. And so I was like, yeah, I'll give Chip Zdarsky a chance with his Brubaker-ish, you know, crime series. I'm going to read you the solicit because this is a number one. And I don't know a lot about Chip with crime. So it says, Easton Newburn is a private detective without loyalties, investigating conflicts between rival crime factions while collecting enemies along the way. In this debut issue, a man is murdered after stealing from his own mafia family, but they aren't the ones who ordered the hit. So they give you some sample art in here. You get like 3 pages if you get the paper previews. And the art's not, you know, like jaw-droppingly great. I mean, Image Comics rarely is it unless it's like one of the Netflix books by, I can't remember his name, the Jupiter's Legacy writer, Mark Millar. But it's workable. It's doable. So I'm definitely on board for this. Looks like there's some salty language in this because they're bleeping out a lot, blanking out a lot of the language. So just buyer beware if language offends you. But I'm definitely going to check this one out. On to my next pick.
And right off the bat, Kyle, we have something that just lights my fire. It's New Burn number one, written by Chip Zdarsky and Nadia Shamas, and artist Jacob Phillips and Ziad Youssef Ayoub. And it is a private detective crime and mystery noir book. And so that's my genre. It's got a Phillips attached, you know, so it's got the Brubaker Phillips connection. Zdarsky's coming off of Stillwater, which is great. Jacob is coming off of That Texas Blood. So this is his dad works with Brubaker on all the great crime noir stuff as well. This is about a guy named Easton Newburn, who's a private detective without loyalties, investigating conflicts between rival crime factions while collecting enemies along the way. In this debut issue, a man is murdered after stealing from his own mafia family, but they aren't the only ones who ordered the hit. This is right up my alley, Kyle. Is it right up your alley at all?
That's pretty cool. They give us a whole 3 or 4 pages to dig through on this, so they really want us to get addicted to it. It's definitely something that's going to be worth jumping into. I'm curious how Zdarsky is going to write something serious. Well, I don't see a whole... A lot of blood spatterings and murder, and our protagonist looks like a very gruff guy, so I'm wondering how he'll shoehorn anything in.
Well, like I say about these artists who turn writers, they're really good.
that's always been your take.
That's always been my take. And, you know, Zdarsky's doing a pretty good job with Stillwater. I don't think there's any humor in that one.
Yeah, there's not.
So he's kind of got that down. This comes out November 3rd. It's 32 pages. It's only $3.99. Like you said, there's 3 or 4 pages here to take a look at. It looks really good to me.
Yeah, it looks really good.
I'm all in and excited about this one.
Yep, 32 pages, $4. So strong work.
And check out Comics for Fun and Profit with Kyle and Drew wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, this is James back with another pick, and this one's just kind of funny to me. And the reason why it's funny, it's on page 46. It is, What's the Furthest Place from Here, number one? The writer, Matthew Rosenberg. Artist is Tyler Boss. You know, why is that funny? We all heard about Matthew Rosenberg. He's been the big pitch man behind the Substack saga, and all the writers are taking their books and going to Substack. Well, apparently not all of it, and there are work's still going to be coming out at Image, because as Substack is happening, Matthew Rosenberg is releasing a book here at Image. So I just kind of chuckled to myself because I thought it was funny. This one is a science fiction series and fantasy series premiere. It's $5, $4.99, but you're getting 60 pages. It says it's triple sized, kind of triple sized, 6 pages short of a triple size for normal comics. But it says a post-apocalyptic coming-of-age story for 4 Kids Walk Into a Bank, Tyler Boss and Matthew Rosenberg. I like 4 Kids Walk Into a Bank. I like post-apocalyptic coming of age, can be good or bad. I'm going to give it a try. I bet you it's only a few issues, and then the thing will kind of like wither away and die on the vine. But I do like post-apocalyptic, so I'm definitely going to check this one out. I just found it hilarious that Matthew Rosenberg's got a thing in previews and didn't take it to a Substack. So... on to my next pick.
Hi, I'm Billy Hogan, host of the Superman Fan Podcast, and I go by Superman Fan on the forums, and my first pick is in the Image Comics section on page 54 with Geiger, 80-page giant number one. And being a reader from the Silver Age, whenever I see 80-page giant, it always gives me a sense of nostalgia because of all of the Superman 80-page giants I used to read growing up. This 80-page giant is written by Jeff Johns, Jay Faber, Sterling Gates, Janet Harvey, Leon Hendricks III, Pornstack Pitchett Schott, and pardon me if I mispronounce that name, and Peter J. Tomasi. The artists are Brian Hitch, Sean Galloway, Stats Johnson, Kelly Jones, Megan Levins, Paul Pelletier, Joe Prado, and Peter Snurberg, and pardon me if I mispronounce that name. The cover A artist is Gary Frank, and I'll be getting that one. Cover B is by Brian Hitch. Cover C is by Paul Pelletier. Cover D is by Megan Levins. And cover E is a blank cover. Mad Ghost Comics presents a monstrous 80 pages of all-new stories featuring Geiger, as well as his allies and enemies. First, in an exercised lead story, Geoff Johns and Brian Hitch introduce the mysterious man known as Redcoat and reveal his bizarre ties to the American Revolution, the Unknown War, and Geiger himself. Then, discover the secrets of the warlords of Las Vegas, Bonnie Borden, Goldbeard, Mr. Karloff, and more, in a series of tales written and drawn by some of the greatest writers and artists today. Plus, the special origin tale of Geiger's favorite two-headed dog, Barney, and a preview of Geoff Johns and Gary Frank's new upcoming series, Junkyard Joe, in shops November 24th for the cover price of $7.99. I've been enjoying this post-nuclear apocalypse comic book series, so I'm excited about reading this 80-page giant that's going to do a bit of world-building in the Geiger universe.
Dr. Mo here with a Dark Horse pick for the previews spotlight episode. It's Joy Operations, number one. So Brian Michael Bendis is moving his Jinx World line of creator-owned books to Dark Horse to kick things off. He's decided to release this new Jinx World title, Joy Operations, written by Bendis, obviously. Art is provided by Stephen Byrne. So this is a totally new concept. How it's been described as a science fiction superhero title. The lead character is Joy. She protects a futuristic corporate-owned city. And, you know, as she's going along doing her superhero thing, she starts to hear a voice that tells her that everything she knows is wrong. So that's the pitch. That's a much more condensed version of the solicitation text. What interests me about this title is that certainly I love superhero titles. I've made no bones about this over the years, but I also really like sci-fi superhero titles. Again, I'm a huge Legion of Superheroes fan, and one of the things I like about it is the futuristic aspects of it. And so granted, no, this is not a Legion of Superheroes-esque title probably by any stretch of the imagination, but it's certainly playing with a superhero in those sci-fi trappings. The other reason that I'm really big on this book is the artist Stephen Byrne. Stephen Byrne has been doing a lot of covers. He worked on interiors for the Justice League Power Rangers team up. He did Wonder Twins. He also did some fill-in work on the Brian Michael Bendis version of the Legion of Superheroes. So I'm really keen on Byrne as an artist. He has a very kinetic, dynamic energy. The colors pop. If you check out Byrne's Instagram page, he's put up some additional preview pages of the book that hadn't been released with the initial press release. So it really looks like it's my cup of tea. The other nice thing about this is it's a mini series. So, you know, maybe this series doesn't work for me as a whole and I jump off the train. Great. No big investment. Now, when it comes to Bendis and I have, or I don't know, obviously it's not a personal thing, but in terms of his writing, you know, I tend to gravitate more and I seem to like Brian Bendis' solo titles a bit more than his team titles, with the exception of Defenders. That really popped for me.
his Legion of Superheroes. There were some things I really liked about it. I just didn't like the pacing. But I think Bendis really excels when it is a singular character, it is a creator owned property, or at least a property which he's really has a vision and he's driving that. And I really feel like that's the purest and the best form of Bendis's writing that we'll get. So I'm really hope, and I have a feeling that, you know, this is a big launch for him, and so he's really gonna, you know, put everything into this. And who knows, perhaps Joy Operations will become the new Naomi or Miles Morales, and you know, and this will be another one of his properties that he co-created that eventually moves to other media. Joy Operations, number one, can be found on page 84 of the previews catalog and costs $3.99.
Hi, Billy Hogan again. My next pick is in the Dark Horse Comics section on page 92 with Black Hammer Reborn, number 6 of a 12-issue miniseries. The writers are Jeff Lemire and Rich Tomasso. The artists are Malachi Ward, Matt Sheehan, and Rich Tomasso. Cover A is drawn by Caitlin Yarsky, which is the one I'll be getting. Cover B is by Malachi Ward and Matt Sheehan. A multidimensional nightmare continues to wreak havoc on Spiral City as bizarre versions of Black Hammer heroes come face to face with the brutal vigilante known as the Skull Digger. Featuring a special 2-page Inspector Insector backup story by Rich Tomasso. Scheduled to be in shops on November 24th for the cover price of $3.99. The Black Hammer superhero universe is one of my favorites currently being published. I enjoy the way they explore the superhero genre in some interesting and original ways. And I can't wait to see Skull Digger in action once again.
Dr. Mo here. With a Dark Horse pick for the previews spotlight episode, it's The Orville, Artifacts, number 2 of 2. So Ed and the crew of the Orville are caught in yet another crazy adventure, this time involving Ed's old astroarchaeology professor. That's really what we get for the solicitation text, and quite frankly, that's all I need. I've been enjoying Dark Horse's Orville miniseries since the first one came out, and at this point, if you're an Orville fan, this is where you need to come to get your Orville fix until that long-delayed, and I do mean long-delayed, season 3 comes out. I really truly believe that Dark Horse has done a great job in producing these comics. I think part of the secret ingredient is that writer David Goodman is a producer on the show, and I think the format of 2-issue miniseries, which are essentially probably the equivalent of an episode, this format really, really works. I feel like we get in and we get out. There's no padding. I think that the artist, David Cabeza, who has been providing the artwork for all the previous 2-part story arcs, it continues to really capture the likenesses of the characters on the show. The artwork, it doesn't feel stiff. It feels, you know, they move, they act like their television counterpart. When I'm reading an issue of these oral comics, I literally am hearing the voices of the different actors. It's it's such a wonderful package. And I truly hope even after we get the Orville Season 3, that we will continue to get additional miniseries. I think Dark Horse has really found a hit here. The Orville Artifacts number 2 can be found on page 102 and costs $3.99.
My next pick is on page 11 of the DC Connect catalog, and it is Robins number 1. Now, this teams up the 5 Robins of Dick Grayson, Jason Todd, Tim Drake, Stephanie Brown, and Damian Wayne as they're discussing whether being Robin was actually kind of good for them or not, and they wind up going up against somebody who claims she was the first Robin. This is coming out of the Round Robins thing they did online, where they had, I don't know, 32 or 16 options that whittled down to just this one, or maybe there was another one, but I'm pretty sure it was just this. I don't know if this is going to be any good or not. I like the Robins, so I'm going to check it out. I am curious about this other character we're going to see, and if it becomes an ongoing one, or if it's just for this story and done. Either way, it's a 6-issue series with characters I enjoy, so like I said, I'll check it out. Once again, that's Robins on page 11 of the DC Connect catalog. My next pick is on page 18 of the DC Connect catalog, and honestly, if it were by almost any other creator, I might pass on this. It's Dark Knights of Steel number 1 of 12, and okay, 1 of 12, that worries me a little these days, particularly from DC. And this is what looks to be essentially an Elseworlds title, just not under that name, which, I mean, you've got the multiverse back, why not? It's a retelling of kind of the DC stuff in, you know, the Middle Ages as an epic high fantasy thing. But this is by Tom Taylor, who's done a really good job on a lot of the other stuff he's done, particularly Injustice Gods Among Us. He's got a really good sense of the DC characters at kind of an iconic level and where you can push them, how you can push them, and rework them and stuff, yet still have them feel like they've hit the core of the character and such. So I'm going to try this out. I'm curious about it. Again, if it were almost any other creator, I don't know if I'd get it or not. My faith in DC is not where I would like it to be right now, but they've got a couple of sample pages. It looks interesting, and like I said, I'll give it a shot. So once again, that's Dark Knights of Steel, number 1 of 12. They also have number 2 here, starting on page 18 of the DC Connect catalog.
Billy Hogan again. My next pick is in the DC Comics Connect magazine on page 31 with Superman, Son of Kal-El, Annual number 1. Written by Tom Taylor, with art by Steve Pugh. The main cover is by John Timms for the cover price of $5.99 for 48 pages. A cardstock variant cover by Steve Pugh will be $6.99 and is scheduled to be on sale November 30th. John Kent's first days as Earth's new Superman have been a trial by fire. His actions have already put those he loves in harm's way. He has stood strong in the path of constant attacks, but the immovable object is about to meet an unstoppable force. Lex Luthor, the man, the myth, the menace, returns to Metropolis. I've gotten the first issue of the Superman Son of Kal-El series, but I'm a little bit behind on my comic book reading, so I haven't had a chance to read it, but I'm looking forward to reading how John Kent handles facing his father's worst enemy, Lex Luthor. Billy Hogan again. My next pick is also on page 31 with Superman, Son of Kal-El, number 5, written by Tom Taylor. Art and cover by John Timms, and that's the cover I'll be getting. The cover price is $3.99 for 32 pages, and a cardstock variant cover by In-Hyuk Lee for $4.99 is also available. This issue is scheduled to be on sale November 9th. Faster than fate, as powerful as hope, able to lift us all. For all his great power, John Kent can't save everyone, but that won't stop him from trying. How much can Earth's new Superman do before this Man of Steel buckles? And when he does, who swoops in to save Superman? Well, I hope that Clark Kent will return and eventually reclaim his role as Superman. I'm looking forward to seeing how his son, Jonathan, continues his legacy. Billy Hogan again. My next pick is still in the DC Comics Connect magazine on page 36 with Action Comics number 1037, written by Philip Kennedy Johnson and Sean Aldridge, art by Miguel Mendoza and Adrian Mello, cover by Daniel Sampier, which is one I'll be getting. A variant cardstock cover by Julian Totino Tedesco is available. The regular cover price is $4.99 for 40 pages, and the cardstock variant cover is $5.99. This issue is scheduled to be on sale November 23rd. The War World Saga Part 2 and the face-off you've been waiting for. Superman and the Authority finally face Mongul and his champions head-on. The fates of Warworld and all who live under Mongul's rule hang in the balance. But he who holds all chains is better prepared than Superman knows. Not everyone walks away from this one. I've enjoyed the Man of Steel's battles against Mongul in the classic story for the Man Who Has Everything and his confrontation with this villain in the end of the Superman Exile story in the early 1990s. So I'm looking forward to seeing them face off in this next battle. Billy Hogan again. My next two picks are also in the DC Comics Connect magazine on page 37 with Batman, The Adventure Continues, Season 2, Issues number 6 and 7 of a 7-issue miniseries written by Alan Burnett and Paul Denny with art by Rick Burchett. The cover to issue 6 is by Jorge Fornes with a variant cover by Yannick Paquette for $3.99 for 32 pages or $4.99 for the variant cardstock cover. It's scheduled to be on sale November 2nd. Former Mayor Mayfield's influence over Gotham grows as the campaign picks up speed. As Batman and his team investigate where Mayfield has been, Batgirl decides to infiltrate the campaign herself. How was Mayfield charming his way around Gotham, and why are clues pointing to Arkham Asylum? The cover to issue 7 is by Christian Ward, which is the one I'll be getting, with a cardstock variant cover by W. Scott Forbes. It's also $3.99 for 32 pages and $4.99 for the cardstock variant cover. This issue is scheduled to be on sale December 7th. Mayor Mayhem's grip over Gotham tightens as he enacts a plan that puts Barbara Gordon at the center of a political scandal. Batman, Nightwing, and Robin leap into action to expose Mayfield's plans for Gotham and break his hypnotic hold over the city before the polls close. But when all roads lead to Arkham, can the Bat family take down all of the city's costumed criminals? I've enjoyed this second season of Batman The Adventure Continues, which is a comic book adaptation of the 1990s Batman animated series. I'm excited to read how this miniseries will wrap up, and I'll continue to get any other seasons of the Batman Adventure Continues comic book. Billy Hogan again. I'm still in the DC Comics Connect magazine, this time on page 40 with Icon and Rocket Season 1, number 5 of 6, written by Reginald Hudlin and Leon Chills, with art by Doug Brathwaite and Andrew Curry. The main cover is by Torin Clark, which is the one I'll be getting. A variant cardstock cover is by Doug Brathwaite. The regular cover price is $3.99 for 32 pages, or $4.99 for the cardstock variant cover. This issue is scheduled to be on sale November 23rd. Static is extremely interested in the new teen hero on the scene, but the feeling on Rocket's part is most certainly not mutual. Can't someone threaten the entire world again so she has an excuse to shake this guy? Be careful what you wish for. I've gotten the first issue of this miniseries in my latest shipment from Discount Comic Book Service, but as I mentioned previously, I'm a little behind on my comic book reading, so I haven't had a chance to read it yet. But I enjoy the original Icon series in the 1990s, so I'm sure I'm going to enjoy this new season one of the Icon and Rocket miniseries. Billy Hogan again. My next pick in the DC Comics Connect digital magazine is on page 43 with Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow, number 5 of 8. Written by Tom King, art and regular cover by Bill Kiss-Evely, and a variant cardstock cover by Amy Reeder. The cover price is $4.99 for 32 pages and is scheduled to be on sale November 16th. Supergirl steps into an ancient trap, stranding her and Ruthie on a planet of nearly perpetual night. Now the Woman of Steel must call on every remaining ounce of strength to combat the monsters left on this world to kill any super unlucky enough to end up on its surface. I read the first issue of this miniseries and enjoyed it. I've received the second but haven't had a chance to read it. But I've enjoyed it so far and I can't wait to read how Supergirl is going to win the day. My final pick in the DC Comics Connect magazine is on page 43 as well, with Superman 78, number 4 of 6, written by Robert Venditti, with art by Wilfredo Torres, and the main cover by Brad Walker, with a cardstock variant cover by Chris Samnee. The regular cover edition is $3.99 for 32 pages, while the cardstock variant cover is $4.99. And this issue is scheduled to be on sale November 23rd. Superman tries to assimilate into his new life in the bottled city of Kandor, but his heart lies elsewhere. Can Superman put his old life behind and find joy in what would have been his home? Or can Lois Lane and Lex Luthor make contact with the Man of Steel and give him hope to return to his adoptive world? I'll receive the first issue of this miniseries in my next shipment from Discount Comic Book Service. And in reading these solicits, I wish I could see this story on the big screen. So hopefully somebody at Warner Brothers will write a great script and have Superman face off with his other greatest enemy, Brainiac. Billy Hogan again. My next pick is in the IDW section on page 128 with Usagi Yojimbo number 24. The writer, cover, and story artist is Stan Sakai. Kyoko has been kidnapped and is being held for ransom by the local mob. Boss Hasegawa wants the ledger of bribes that Kitsune had stolen. But how can they buy Kyoko's freedom when that book has been stolen from the thief? Usagi Yukichi and Kitsune try to bluff their way with Boss Hasegawa, but their scheme is uncovered when the real thief tries to sell the book to the big boss. Scheduled to be in shops on November 24th for $3.99. I enjoyed the introduction of the new character Yukichi at the beginning of this storyline, so I'm looking forward to seeing how he and Usagi are able to get out of this situation. Billy Hogan again. My next pick is also on page 128 in the IDW section with Usagi Yojimbo, Dragon Bellow Conspiracy, number 6 of a 6-issue miniseries. The writer and artist is Stan Sakai, and the cover artist is David Peterson, who does another great comic book series in hardcover of Mouse Guard, and I would encourage everyone to check that one out also. The danger to the realm has passed, and the victors celebrate. But for one character, a final chance for redemption and a life of peace is about to slip out of reach. Don't miss the epic conclusion to one of Usagi's most celebrated stories, now in all new color. In shops November 17th for the cover price of $3.99. I've been enjoying these reprints that IDW is doing of past Usagi Yojimbo stories, publishing them in color for the first time, because for decades Usagi Yojimbo has been a black and white comic book. So I'm enjoying looking at these older stories, and what I'm learning is that Stan Sakai was just as good of a storyteller back then as he is now, and eventually I hope to get all of his stories in collected editions.
This is James back with another previews, and this time I'm in the Dynamite section. I'm on page 132. They have a new number one coming out, and this one's Sheena, Queen of the Jungle. It's 32 pages, $3.99. Sheena can be a cheesecake book, probably is a little bit, but if it's written well, it's something I'll stick with. If it's not, if it's just art, then I probably won't stay with it very long. So I definitely want to check it out because the story actually sounded good, and I'm not opposed to cheesecake art. This one is, the writer is Stephen Mooney, and the artist is Jethro Morales, which I'm not super familiar with either one of those. The big, you know, print, you know, pitch is Jurassic Park meets Predator meets the Hunger Games. Sheena is queen of all. Sounds good. I'm on board for that. And it says, Sheena is recruited, that's being kind, she is kind of forced to go, to enter the biodome, an amazing synthesis and nature. And nature and machine, where something has gone terribly wrong. Outside the dome, she faces with humans trickery and deceit. Inside the dome, she's facing the deadly jungle and a fast murdering mystery. So I guess pick your poison, inside or outside the dome. Sounds like it could be cool, but it really depends on how it's written. So I'm probably going to give it a few issues, see if I like it. If it's not good, I'll drop off, but I'm definitely going to give this one a shot, so I just wanted to shout it out. And on to my next pick. Hey, this is James back with another pick, and this time I'm in the Boom section on page 180, and there's a sample of the cover on page 181. The next two pages, they have sample art, which looks good to me, so I'm on board for that. And this book is called Regarding the Matter of Oswald's Body, number 105. So it's a limited series written by Christopher Cantwell and illustrated by Luca Casalanguida. I probably butchered that, but it looks like Casalanguida. This one, it says, a brand new conspiracy crime thriller, perfect for fans of Department of Truth and Time Before Time. I've not been reading Time Before Time, but I have been reading Department of Truth, and I have been loving it. And Oswald plays a central role in Department of Truth. So I saw this, and they, you know, mentioned that Department of Truth tagline on there. I'm like, cool, I'm on board. I got to check this out. Conspiracy theories. I am not a conspiracy theorist. I kind of poo-poo most of it, talk it down, and I honestly, most people that believe in conspiracy theories, I debate them all the time. Not really debate them, but I'm like, try to talk reason and sense from my perspective. But it's just kind of funny what we have going on today's times and truth and all right, facts and alternative facts and everything like that. But this book, I'm going to read you a little bit about what it says. Where's Lee Harvey Arl? Where is Lee Harvey Oswald's body? So that's the premise, it's the first line. The Kennedy assassination is a rat's nest of conspiracy theories. True. Mafia involvement, the second gunman, government cover-up. But the most important chapter of this sordid tale may just be the theory that the body of buried at Oswald's Rose Hill grave site is not actually Lee Harvey himself. So that's one of the conspiracies. Meet the ragtag group of useful idiots. I love the term useful idiots. It was created by, I think it was Stalin back in the day. Useful idiots, people that you can manipulate to spread your lies or your viewpoints, propaganda, who are unwittingly brought together to clean up the crime of the century. A wannabe cowboy from Wisconsin, a Buddy Holly idolizing former car thief, a world weary civil rights activist ready for revolution, and a failed G-man who still acts the part, and specifically regarding the master of Oswald's body. So anyways, this sounds really cool. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm definitely getting on board for this. It's only 5 issues, so it won't cost too much, or if you don't like it, you won't be on there too long. But if they write a tight story, I think this could be a lot of fun. On to my next pick.
My next pick is on page 184 of the previews catalog. It is Power Rangers Universe number 1 of 6. Got a cool looking cover with a lot of Red Rangers and stuff on here. But the story is about the Phantom Ranger, one of the characters in the 5th and 6th season whose origin was never really revealed. They're going to explain it all here. Should be interesting. What I find a little perplexing is they haven't announced the writer. It's TBA, so to be announced versus to be determined. So maybe it's a big announcement coming on that. Don't know. Either way, I'm liking what they're doing with the Power Rangers stuff, and I'm looking forward to this. So once again, that's Power Rangers Universe number 1 of 6 on page 184 of the previews catalog.
Hey, this is James, and I am now in the Marvel Supplemental, and I'm on page 4, where the first book that came up is something that's very near and dear to my heart because he is my favorite character. It is the Hulk. I've been reading The Immortal Hulk. It was a fantastic run. I think everyone should read it. I'm sure that it's all going to be collected in omnibus, if not two omnibi. And when they come out, I will be purchasing those because it was a definitive run of the Hulk. It was really, really good. There was a couple issues that weren't too great, but overall it was really good. But who follows up a great run of the Hulk? None other than Donny Cates. Donny Cates seems to have no fear of following up a top writer and trying to one-up him. What I mean by that is we had the Thanos series when he came in halfway through the is almost like a mini-series and did better than the original writer, I thought. Then he took over for Thor. Jason Aaron had a really epic run, and his Thor run has just been terrific. So he's doing that again here with the Hulk. And it's Donny Cates is going to be the writer on this new installment of the Hulk. Ryan Ottley will be the artist. And there's a ton of covers on here. I'm not going to go over those. Not too many, but there are a lot of covers. It says Mad Scientist Part 1 of 6. And in real big green print, it says Immortal No Longer. Cates and Ottley deliver a new colossal-sized era. So I think this is going to be a lot of fun. I'm not going to read you the solicit. I hope that's not a spoiler that says Immortal No Longer. I don't know what's happened at the end of Immortal Hulk, but I guess he's Immortal No Longer. But this is $4.99, $5, but you get 40 pages of material. And it doesn't look like they're going to give you a silly backup story. They're going to give you 40 pages of the Hulk, maybe a few house ads in there. So I'm completely on board for this. I'm excited for it. And if it's good enough, I'm going to get John to review the first arc of it with me. So on to my next pick. Hey, this is James back with another pick in the Marvel Supplemental, and I didn't go very far. This time I'm on page 8, and I'm looking at a miniseries. It is The Thing, 1 of 6. I'm a big fan of The Thing from Marvel 2-in-1, Fantastic Four. I have the whole run of some of that stuff, not the Fantastic Four. But this one is written by Walter Mosley, and Tom Riley is the artist. They're saying the next big thing is here. Renowned storyteller Walter Mosley brings his signature style. So I was like, who in the heck is Walter Mosley? Because I had no idea what his signature style was, and I didn't know him as a comic writer. So when I looked him up on Wikipedia, it says he's an American novelist who's best known for his crime fiction. And he has a best-selling historical mystery featuring hard-boiled detective E.Z. Rollins, a black private investigator living in the Watts neighborhood of Los Angeles. Never heard of it, never read any of his books. So it's another novelist coming to comics. That's been hit or miss, so I'm interested to see what's going to happen with this. Like I said, I'm not a fan. I can't tell you anything about his writing because I never read anything by him. But I love The Thing. The reason why I like The Thing is I've always been into the big guys. And what I mean by the big guys, the Hulk, the Thing, you name them, even Colossus on the X-Men. I like the big guys who slug it out, just kind of my thing. So I'm definitely on for this miniseries, and some of the miniseries have been really good. I'm hoping this is a good one because it sounds like he's getting, you know, testing out his comic chops with his first series. Could go either way. But this one's $4.99. It's 40 pages of The Thing material, and it's only 6 issues, so I'm not going to be in for a long time, but I'm definitely going to check this one out just because I'm a fan of the character. And on to my next pick. Hey, this is James back with another pick in the Marvel Supplemental, and this time I'm on page 32. Actually, it's 32 and 33, so I don't know which page gets the credit, but this is Black Panther number 1 by John Ridley as the writer. Juan Cabal is the artist, and covers by Alex Ross. The last series by Ta-Nehisi Coates was good at times for me. Sometimes it wasn't so good. He's a novelist who came in to write comics, and I think sometimes his writing style is suited more for long form storytelling, and I think it will read better as a graphic novel or an omnibus than Black Panther did in the single issues. And that's not to discredit his work. It's just saying he's got his writing chops down on comics better as he went, but overall it kind of lost me a little bit. Okay, so we have a new creative team. I'm going to try it out. John Ridley takes over the Black Panther. This is a new number one, and it's saying the long shadow starts here. So Academy Award winning writer John Ridley and Stormbreaker artist Juan Cabal launch a new Black Panther series with action-packed espionage story that will upend everything in T'Challa's life and have ramifications for the entire Marvel Universe. Well, that remains to be seen. We will see what it does with T'Challa's life, but we will see the impact on the Marvel Universe. But I'm down for a good Black Panther story. I like the character. And when you have the right writer on it and the right artist on it, I think this will sell. So I'm definitely going to check it out. And if you're buying it, it is 40 pages of content for $4.99. Subsequent issues will probably be $3.99 and a little bit shorter. But on to my next pick. Hey, this is James back with another pick in the Marvel Supplemental. And this time I'm on page 43. It actually spreads 42 and 43, where we get X-Force Killshot Anniversary Special number 1, written by Rob Liefeld and Chad Bowers. Art by Rob Liefeld. Rob Liefeld heads back to Marvel for the 30th anniversary of X-Force. Any of us who are around in 1991 remembers this book coming out, remembers Liefeld doing it. It was the biggest selling book that I can remember until X-Men when Jim Lee came out and one-upped it. But this one sold like 5 million copies, I think, back in 1991. And we probably, everyone listening to this has a copy of it. But I like the team. I wouldn't say I love the team, but I loved the X-Men back in that day. And I liked Liefeld on this. So I really did like the team. And I'm just excited to see him back here doing the anniversary special, Rob Liefeld. And I also wanted to thank him for his Robservations podcast, because that's been excellent. Just a lot of fun. And this goes back to the, you know, don't cut off your nose to spite your face. Say, don't burn bridges. Always keep, you know, relationships intact and be nice to other people, because you never know when things loop back around. You know, 30 years later, we're not going to see, anniversary issue by Todd McFarlane. That's not going to happen. And we'll probably never see an anniversary issue with some of the Image creators, like Robert Kirkman, who've kind of sworn off just based on their statements. It's just hubris and ego at that point. But, you know, he's going to come back and earn himself a few million bucks just for doing this one issue and still doing what he loves on the indie side. So I really respect it when people do that and keep relationships intact, which is just something that so many people for some reason can't do. They feel like they have to, when they're leaving, create chaos and animosity and hatred, and you don't have to do that. So thanks, Rob, for what you did. X-Force, I'm definitely on board to read this. It's a one-shot. It's 40 pages, $4.99. And, I mean, if you like Rob Liefeld art, you're going to want to read this issue. So I'm happy to see him back with these characters. On to my next pick.
Billy Hogan again. My next pick is now in the Marvel Comics insert on page 52 with Fantastic Four Life Story number 5 of 6, written by Mark Russell with art by Sean Isaacs. Cover A is by Daniel Acuna, which is the one I'll be getting, and cover B is by Simone Bianchi. The lives and history of the Fantastic Four reached the tumultuous decade of the 2000s. The moment of truth comes for Earth as Galactus arrives. The Fantastic Four are willing to stop him at any price, but what if that price includes the destruction of other inhabited worlds? Rated T for Teen, and is scheduled to be in shops on November 17th for the cover price of $4.99. I've enjoyed the early issues of this miniseries. It takes some of the history of the Fantastic Four and some of their supporting characters and spins them in different directions so that it's not just a recap of what has gone on before. It reminds me a lot of John Byrne's first Superman Batman Generations miniseries, where he took the two superheroes and had them begin their careers in 1938 and 1939 or 40 when they were first published, and then have their careers go on into the coming decades as if they lived for 70, 80 years and beyond. And since the Fantastic Four is my favorite Marvel title, I can't wait to see how this alternate story ends. Billy Hogan again. My final pick in the Marvel Comics insert is on page 53 with Fantastic Four number 38, written by Dan Slott with art by Francesco Manna. Cover A is by Terry Dodson, which is the one I'll be getting, and cover B is by Natasha Bustos. When the Wizard and the Frightful Four menace the FF both in and out of the courtroom, it's time to call in everyone's favorite green lawyer, the sensational She-Hulk. All this and some surprise Marvel U guest stars, and a new development for a member of the Richards family, rated T for Teen, and is scheduled to be in shops on November 3rd for the cover price of $3.99. I've enjoyed some of the past storylines of the She-Hulk as an attorney, especially when Dan Slott wrote her series some years back, where the Marvel long boxes were actual evidence that could be used in court. So I wonder if there'll be any of that in this issue. I haven't read a whole lot of Dan Slott's work, but what I have read is a lot of fun, so I'm hoping that this is more of the same.
Hey, this is James, back with another pick, and I think everybody who's ever listened to me on the podcast or been in the book club that we meet on Wednesdays knows I was going to pick this one. And I'm on page 83 in the Marvel Supplemental, and I'm looking at an omnibus, and it is Thor by Jason Aaron, Omnibus Volume 1. John and I reviewed the first arc of Thor and the second arc of Thor by Jason Aaron in the back issue Spotlight. And this is just excellent, excellent material. And by the way, I think I want to correct that. I think we only reviewed the first arc by Jason Aaron. We did two arcs by Donny Cates, so correction there. But Jason Aaron was on the book for like 5 or 6 years, and it was just fantastic. It was epic. It was awesome. You had Thor, you had losing the hammer, gaining the hammer, you had Mangog, you had Jane Foster and the Thor that came from that. Just so many cool, cool things that happened. And I just really, really love this one. There's three covers that are coming with it. It's a Dotterman cover. That's a variant. The main cover is Ribic, Asad Ribic. Then there's a Russell Dotterman cover. And then there's a Joe Quesada cover. Pick your cover. Both Asad Ribic was the first artist with Jason Aaron, and I think Russell Dotterman was the second artist with Jason Aaron on the book. I honestly can't remember, but there's a few artists. Just so you know, it's penciled by Asad, Butch Geis, Nick Klein, Ron Garney, Emma Lupacino. It goes on and on. Russell Dotterman's one of the more memorable ones, the two doing some of the covers. And just fantastic stuff. This first omnibus, and because it says volume one, there will probably be a volume two, because I'm sure there's more than enough material. It covers Thor, God of Thunder, number 1 through 25 from 2014. And it covers, that was from 2014. Thor, number 1 through 8, Thor Annual, Thoris, number 1 through 4, and the Mighty Thor, number 1 through 12. Those all get collected in here. There will be a second omnibus with more material. This one is 1,216 pages for $125, or you can get a huge discount by shopping with Deep Discount Comics. He's on our Slack channel, Eric from Cowabunga, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to save a ton of money and pre-order this. But if you have not read this series, this is the way to read it. Pick up the omnibus. You'll thank me later. I know you will, because I don't think many people will not like this. I think everyone who's read Jason Aaron's Thor has loved it and seen it as a definitive run of Thor. It is fantastic. Once again, that's on page 83, and I've been waiting for it. It will actually come out into stores March of 2022. And on to my next pick. Hey, this is James back with a quick pick in the Marvel Supplemental. On page 87, there is a reprint for the War of the Realms omnibus hardcover. It is $125 for 1,576 pages. That's a lot of pages. This is written by Jason Aaron and some others, but this spins directly out of Jason Aaron's Thor omnibus that I called out earlier. This is a reprint. So if you want the complete Jason Aaron experience, you're going to have to get Omnibus 1. Eventually, Omnibus 2 will come out, but you definitely want to pick up War of the Realms because in the middle there, you're going to want to read this stuff. War of the Realms spills out of it, and it was a fantastic event. That's an event that was very good. So definitely pick this one up. That's a short clip. Just wanted to let you know. Hey, this is James back with another pick, and this time I'm in the back half of previews. And I always stop at Ablaze because they always have something good going on. They have several good series going on, actually. I'm pretty much in on every one of their series other than the manga reprints because some of the manga that I can find in the back half might be a little bit better than this. So I haven't really gone to Ablaze for manga. But the thing that caught me is my eyes in new number one. It's on page 204. Gilliam March's Laura number one. Gilliam March is a fantastic artist, good writer. I read his last series that he had from Ablaze, and it was just terrific. So I'm definitely on board for this. It's a comic, 32 pages, and it says Slice of Life, $3.99, mature. And Gilliam is doing the art and the writing. And it says, before his work on Batman, the hit Joker series, and Carmen, which was the last one that Ablaze did, there was the heartfelt story of Laura, the book that led Gilliam March to the mainstream comics world. So this is the one that got him noticed, and I've never read it. It says, suffering from the ever painful experience of unrequited love, 20-year-old Laura takes a look at her life. Is the fact that the boy she's feeling for is in love with someone else mean there's something wrong with her? Or is that just how young love goes? And what will happen when she tries to get past the hurt and move on with her life? Laura's an exploration into the mind of a young woman who has experience, who has experiencing something most people have. I think it should have said has experienced something instead of experiencing, but in an honest and beautiful way that only Gilliam March can bring us. So I think it's going to be fun. I think it'll be a good book. I want to read this. This is the comic that basically they said broke him out and got him into the mainstream work that we see later on. So I'm definitely on board for this. And if you haven't read it, this may be a chance for you to check out his work. I think it sounds fantastic. It'll be something different. Slice of Life, if it's done well, can be really, really good. So on to my next pick.
Billy Hogan again. My final pick is in the back half of the previews on page 210 with Serial number 8. The writer, cover, and story artist is Terry Moore. Zoe lays a trap for Ginny, a deadly serial killer who is becoming increasingly desperate as the police close in. But Ginny is determined to finish her list, and there's one person left, and he's under police protection. Is he safe from a clever killer who has racked up 19 victims? Zoe doesn't care. All she wants is vengeance for the murder of her friend, and that can only happen if she gets to Ginny before the cops. Scheduled to be in shops on November 24th for the cover price of $3.99. It sounds like from this solicit that this series is wrapping up. Most of them have been 10-issue miniseries ever since he finished his long-running Strangers in Paradise series. I'm not sure, but all I know is that any issue by Terry Moore is guaranteed to be an excellent read. And whenever I receive one from Discount Comic Book Service, I'm a save the best for last kind of a guy, and so a Terry Moore comic book usually is always at the bottom of the pile because I want to savor it until the end. Thanks, John, for providing this forum so that we can share our enthusiasm for the comic book medium. And I hope everyone out there stays healthy and safe. And I hope you'll get your vaccine if you haven't already. And let's not forget to take care of each other out there.
Dr. Mo here with an Ahoy pick for the preview spotlight episode. It's my bad. number one. Ahoy is introducing yet another take on superheroes and supervillains with My Bad. According to solicitation text, the first issue of the series, or perhaps the series as a whole, we're not really sure, features the Emperor King taking on his two arch foes, Accelerator and the Chandelier, in Gravel City. Yeah, I like the name of the city. How it rolls off your tongue. Gravel City. It actually feels like it could be a fictional DC Universe city. The series is written by Mark Russell. If you've read other works by Mark Russell, you know he does a really good job at world building, getting readers off the ground floor in that first issue, making sure you have all the information that you need. Now, this time, Russell will have a writing partner in Bryce Ingram. I'm not familiar with Bryce Ingram as a comic book writer or just as a writer in general, so I'd be kind of curious to see kind of how this collaboration works out. The art is being provided by Peter Cross. Peter Cross has been working on superhero comics for many, many years. He's done some other titles as well. For me, the book that I, when I think about Peter Cross and his clean superhero line style, I think of The Power of Shazam back in the 90s with writer Jerry Ordway. Now, ironically, Jerry Ordway provides a variant cover for this first issue of My Bad. So I think we're certainly going to have a very nice, clean package. Peter Krause worked on the A Wrong Earth miniseries as well for Ahoy, so he's been part of the Ahoy family for a while, and I'm really expecting a fun, satirical take on superheroes, and you know, something that will kind of appease certain senses of mine. Especially, you know, sometimes I just want a book in the style of the Giffen and DeMatteis Justice League, sort of that comedic satire set in the world of superheroes. So we'll see if we get that. I'm sure at the very least that Mark Russell's gonna make sure that he has some sort of scathing satire and perhaps some sort of deeper look at humanity. Who knows? My Bad number one can be found on page 226 of previews and costs $3.99.
Hey, this is James back with another pick, and this time I'm on page 254 in the back half, and I'm at one of my favorite publishers, AWA, and it is a new number one. It's called Knighted Number One, written by Greg Hurwitz, illustrated by Mark Texeira. The thing that caught my eye on this one, not that it's a number one, is that it's the first book, to my knowledge, that's being written by someone other than J. Michael Straczynski that is a spinoff and ties into the world that Straczynski has created. So it's kind of cool. It says, you know, Greg Hurwitz, and it gives all their accolades, and Texeira gives all his accolades. They've both done a lot of Marvel and DC work. Introduced a masked vigilante for the 21st century, Bob Ryder, and he's a hapless bureaucrat whose bad luck streak comes to a crescendo when he accidentally kills the city's masked vigilante, the Knight. Oops. Now Bob is forced to take on the mantle of the legendary hero before the city descends into chaos. Good thing he's got the Knight's former butler assistant to show him the ropes. So I think it'll be funny. It says this, you know, action-packed adventure inside the world of the Resistance. So we've been reading about the Resistance. I've really liked it. I like Straczynski's entire book that he's been, you know, all the little spinoffs that he's done with this world. And so I'm definitely going to pick this one up and give it a shot. It probably will go for 5 or 6 issues, would be my guess. Oh, actually, yeah, they're on the cover, 105. Haha, good guess. And I'm definitely on board for it. Comes out November 3rd, $3.99, 32 pages. Check it out. On to my next pick.
My next pick is on page 300, and it is the Overstreet Guide to Lost Universes softcover. It's part price guide, part photo journal of comics and stuff, covering a lot of universes that were there for a little bit and kind of gone. With the MLJ Archie superhero universe, Valiant, Milestone, the new universe from Marvel, just to name a couple. You know, I think it's going to have a number of others and stuff. I'm really curious about this because it's always kind of fun to dive into a new universe that you've never explored and learn the characters and stuff like that. And there are a lot of these things, particularly in the mid-90s, that kind of popped up, were there for a while, and then just went away. So I'm looking forward to this. If you're interested in kind of some of the more obscure shared universes and stuff, some which are larger than others, this might be worth checking out. So once again, that is the Overstreet Guide to Lost Universes softcover on page 300 of the previews catalog. Okay, I know this next one isn't for everybody, but I am a process junkie, and I am really curious what all is going to be in this one. On page 301 of the previous catalog is Marvel by Design hardcover, and they're going to go kind of behind the scenes and show aspects of the visual storytelling, the graphic design, and other aspects of Marvel that kind of makes the Marvel brand what it is, including logos, covers, lettering, layouts, color palettes, and all of those kinds of design things. And it's pricey. It's $69 and stuff, but it's a 300-plus page hardcover. And again, I have no idea exactly what's going to be in there and stuff, but it sure sounds kind of interesting to a process junkie like me, so I thought I'd give it a shout-out. So once again, that's Marvel by Design hardcover on page 301 of the previews catalog.
Hey, this is James back with my final clip. And my final clip, I'm going to break the rules, and I'm doing a twofer. It's two different comics on different pages, but they're literally back-to-back from each other. And they're on page 317 and 318. And it's from Magnetic Press, which Magnetic does European comic translations. The first one is The Wall. It's a hardcover by Antoine Cherion, I can't say that, and Mario Alberti. And it's saying the scope and scale of a summer blockbuster by feature film director Antoine Charrier of Babylon AD. So cool. 164 pages, hardcover, $29.99, but I will get a nice discount from Deep Discount Comics. And this first one is a post-apocalyptic future. A young repairman named Solal does what he can to protect his sister Eva, who suffers from a respiratory illness. But when their medication runs out, they have only one hope to cross the wall, a gigantic impregnable enclosure guarded by monstrous robots. But what lies behind the wall is not what anyone would expect. Sounds cool. And then the other one on page 318 is another Euro translation, and it's called Shangri-La. It is a mature reader book, so it's saying 18 and up, by Mathieu Bablet. I would guess French by that name. 224-page hardcover. $29.99. Once again, discount from Deep Discount Comics will make it less expensive for me. And this one says it's 2001 A Space Odyssey meets Metropolis, and it is already a worldwide bestseller. Even though we haven't heard it here, it's apparently sold well all over Europe. So they tip Magnetic and Humanoids tend to take the best of Euro comics and translate them versus just all Euro comics. So when you see it, you get the best of the best. And it's the same thing with manga. When you're reading manga, it's the ones that have already risen, the cream that's risen to the surface. They don't translate all manga for us. They give us the best of the best, which some people think manga's better. They don't have any so-so books, or Euro comics are better. They don't have any so-so books. No, they just translate the best ones. They don't give you the stuff that's kind of mediocre or blah. So anyways, Shangri-La, a worldwide bestseller. A few hundred years in the future, humans live in a space station far from Earth, governed by a cultured multinational corporation. On the surface, everyone seems to be satisfied with their perfect society, and they are set on pushing their own limitations to become equal to gods. They are nearer to setting up a program aimed at creating life from scratch on Shangri-La, one of the most hospitable regions of Titan, where they intend to rewrite Genesis in their own way. But as tends to happen, mankind's hubris gets in the way. Sounds really cool. People trying to tamper with creation, and what could go wrong with that? Who knows? I'm definitely on board for it. It sounds like it's just going to be really cool. Some magnetic, there's a couple Euro translations, there's samples of the art, looks decent in both of them, so I'm on board for both of those. I wanted to say thank you to John for hosting this. I want to thank all of you guys that had time to submit clips. I sent out a notification on Slack channel. I sent it kind of late, so some of you were on vacation and stuff and maybe can't make it. So hopefully you get a clip or two while you're out on vacation. But if not, next month, I look forward to all your clips. And thanks, John, for hosting this again. Take care, and until next month, bye.
Dr. Mo here with a Titan Comics pick. For the previews spotlight episode, it's Robotech Archives, The Sentinels, Volume 2. Now, over the years, I've submitted clips to preview spotlight episodes talking about my love of the Robotech property. For those of you who are not familiar, Robotech was a animated television series that aired in the U.S. and other parts of the globe in the 1980s, it was the combination of three separate manga series in which their plots, shows, backstories were tweaked and adjusted. So you essentially had a generational story arc that stretched across the entire series. Now, Robotech was so popular that the producers Harmony Gold were hoping to have a follow-up series, which was Robotech to The Sentinels. However, that animated series did not get off the ground. There is a movie, an animated movie that is, that essentially cuts together some of the completed episodes. Now, the story of Robotech to The Sentinels was followed up in a series of books over the years, published by Eternity and Academy Comics, and later Antarctic Press also published some Sentinels books as well. The comic series was written by, or at least this volume is written by Chris Ohm. Chris Ohm is one of the co-founders of Malibu Comics. He is aided by Thomas Mason, and the art is provided by Jason and John Waltrip. People like to refer to them as the Waltrip brothers. They're two twin brothers who really, they drew all of these Robotech to the Sentinels books, whether it's the comics, the specials, the pinup books, etc. These two brothers, Jason and John, are synonymous with this property in the comic book form. Now, Titan has been reprinting these Robotech to the Sentinel books, and they referred to as books when they were published back in the late 80s and early 90s. This collection publishes issues 1 through 22 of what is known as Book 2 of the Sentinels. Now, the basic plot is that of these comics is the Robotech Expeditionary Force, which in their spacecraft, the SDF-3, have encountered a coalition of aliens called the Sentinels. The Sentinels are fighting against the Invid. Invid, if you are familiar with the Robotech series, were the primary villains of the third half. The third act of the animated series. They become one of the main protagonists in The Sentinels. I think that for diehard fans of Robotech, this is a must, because it is very hard to find these single issues. They had low print runs. I have occasionally come across individual issues over the years, but I was really, really pleased when Titan decided to start collecting this. And the nice thing is that it's essentially a phone book, but the comics were in black and white. So the packaging looks really good. And again, you're getting all 22 issues of this particular book. Titan has had the Robotech license for a few years now, and we really haven't been seeing any Robotech-related products from Titan since the pandemic began. So as a Robotech fan, I certainly want to encourage Titan to keep publishing Robotech material. And this is something I've been looking for, been hunting for years. So it's easily a slam dunk for me. Robotech Archives, The Sentinels, Volume 2, can be found on page 360 of the previews catalog and costs $29.99.
I hope everybody found something in the previews catalog this time that they're interested in, and by previews, of course, I mean also DC Connect and Marvel previews. There's a ton of good stuff. I found a couple of things I was interested in. Obviously, you've heard my clips and stuff. We did not have quite as many submissions this time as we usually do. Matter of fact, this is probably the shortest episode we've had really since, I think, the first episode after the shutdown last year, when there was just resolicitations and whatnot for that June 2020 previews. But, you know, Labor Day weekend, people are getting busy, vacations this time of year and stuff. I totally get it and whatnot. I do want to thank Billy, James, Kyle and Drew at Comics for Fun and Profit, and Mo for sending in clips. Much appreciated. And hopefully everybody else can send in some clips next time. I know there are a couple of people that were just a little swamped this time, and believe me, I totally get that. I was actually going through previews for the first time as I was recording my clips, so I'm a little kind of behind myself on what I would normally be doing. But like I said, hopefully everybody found some stuff of interest. The next previews is getting released on September 29th of 2021, of course. That means the preview spotlight deadline is going to be a week and a half later on Saturday, October 9th, and that's, we'll say, 9 a.m. If you need a little more time, email me. I can usually work with that. I just kind of need to know what's coming. It's also very helpful when people post on the forum as to what they're going to do. It was a big help this time. It gives me kind of a checklist of what clips I need to make sure to get in there and how much time I need to set aside for putting this episode together. So, like I said, hopefully people found this episode of use. They found some cool stuff in previews. And with that, we'll call it an episode. The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.